I am thankful of this one thing, that there is nothing in this world that I might encounter that my God can't take care of. I'm thankful that no matter, Brother Barney, what might happen in my life, I'm serving a God that is able. And not only able, He's willing to help us in our time of trouble. Amen. Once again, good to have you in the service. Be looking up John chapter 20. I'll go to Sister Geneva's book. I like John too. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to have you once again. Thankful for this Easter morning. I really cherish, and not that I'm not excited about Christmas and the birth of our Savior, but I tell you what, the birth is setting the stage, but the resurrection is life that continues for eternity. And I'm thankful that I come in contact with Him, Brother Wendell. I'm thankful that He had mercy on me. I was thinking about in Hebrews, we're studying in our Sunday and our Wednesday night services, that I can come boldly before the throne of grace, that I might obtain mercy. Hallelujah. Because there's times we have trouble. How many knows that? Praise God. John chapter 20. If you would stand with us in the service today. We're going to go ahead and read several verses there in chapter 20. Verse 1 says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, seeking the stone taken away, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre, seeing the linen clothes lie, the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in its place by itself, in a place by itself. And went in also that door other disciple, which came first in the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went out again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for this service. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We pray, God, a special move of your Spirit in this service, anointing upon every word that I say. I pray, Lord, touch lives this morning. Lord, encourage as we're here to lift up and praise you and thank you for rising again and being that resurrected Christ. We praise you for it this morning. We praise you today. Lord, if there be one that doesn't know you today, I pray, God, speak to their heart in this service, and we'll give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. Amen. It's good to have you here in the service. Been asked if I was preaching a typical Easter Sunday morning message. I don't know if it's typical or not. But I believe God wants me to preach this message to you today. And I'm preaching on the thought that I feel like applies to a lot of things that we're having to deal with today in America, in this world we're living in today. And that's simply this. It was mentioned in our Wednesday night Bible study and kind of jumped out at me there. And that's simply this: fear. You'd say, how in the world would that have anything to do with Easter? Well, God being my helper, I'm going to preach what He gave to me this morning. We find that the disciples And those around about Christ had him with them for 33 years. And as that came about, is they come a time in their life that they were going to have something change. How many knows that life has things that happen in your life that changes? Sometimes you say, well, I don't think life's going to change. I want everything to stay the same. Well, get ready. It's not going to stay the same. Life will change. Things will happen. You will change. Things around about you, your jobs, your homes, everything about us will change. But they was not wanting that to happen. And as they had him with them, now I can just imagine that fear would grip me. There's actually two different types of fear. I want to talk about the fear that is an emotion that will cause us, that we sense a danger. We feel like there's something not there. Now, there is a reverent fear that we're in awe of what God is. That's a different type of fear, I feel like, than what we're talking about today. Mary and them came, and they were very anxious, and they found the stone was rolled away. And as they looked in there, they found that the Christ was not there. So their Savior, their friend, their helper, the one they had saw that had done all these great miracles, Brother Clayton, as they looked in there and he was gone. The Scripture says they didn't realize the Scriptures that he was supposed to rise again. And folks, I tell you, sometimes in our life, there will be things happening in our life and we may not realize that God is in the midst of it. But we find so many times we have fear begin to grip us. We have anxiety begin to grip us. And we have uncomfortable times in our life. And folks, I want to tell you something. This is where we're living at today in the United States of America. There's fear gripping our nation. Has anybody noticed that? Now we find, and you say, preacher, don't start getting political. Somehow I have a trouble not being that way, but I like to talk about things that are happening today. It's been stated from our president that we're not a Christian nation. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching good. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise that we have got Christians in our nation. I'm praying for our president. He's there and it's a bad situation he's in. But folks, I tell you what, we've also found things out happening like this. And it just turns my stomach when I hear these things. You say, I wish you'd get off of this stuff. But I have to tell you what's going on. I feel like that's my call to tell you what's going on. We have very high and influential people on our television stations. Are you hearing me? They tell you there's more ways to heaven than through Christ. Hello. They talk. I flipped through the other day and they're teaching our kids perverted sexual things on our TV stations. You say, preacher, how has this got to do with Easter? I'm talking about a risen Savior. Glory. Amen, folks. I'm telling you right now, we better be careful what we see and what we listen to. Because I got news for Oprah Winfrey. There's not but one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. It's not feel good, everything's all right. Amen. Praise God. It's not the situation of a man and a man begins to feel good. Their relationship begin to grow. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's sin. And it's not a world we're living in today that we can teach our kids. They're trying to teach our kids in kindergarten that it's acceptable, the homosexual lifestyle. It's not acceptable. Our nation's concerned about our economy. We're having people losing their jobs by the groves and by the thousands, multiple thousands across our nation. And I feel sorry and my heart goes out. And I want to tell you something. This preacher and his family am not in some situation that I cannot be touched. I'm here to tell you we can all have our ground shaken below us. That's why I'm preaching about fear this morning. Mary and them run up to the tomb. They wanted to come and see where their Savior was. They saw him crucified. They realized what he had went through. And praise God, they loved him so much, Sister Tyner. As they went up there, somebody stole the body. Somebody's got the body. Contrary to what they thought, praise God, he had risen again on the third day. Amen. He had took the sins of this world. His blood was shed. Praise God, that in 2009, I can receive that blood. I can find myself. Amen. Right now, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the world that's in fear and trembling, and find one thing, I can have peace. Glory to God. Anybody here got peace? Oh, praise God. I want to say something. I've tried. I said, Lord, help me to motivate and help me to guide this message that's inspiring today. So I'm sitting there thinking, Of course, the devil starts telling him, don't talk about this, don't talk about that. Well, I got news for him. I've already got on some of those subjects. Sorry. I'm going to preach what God wants me to preach. What happens today is when fear grips you is when you're not trusting in the Lord and Savior. Praise God. Listen to me. Just because things go wrong doesn't mean God's not working. There was a prophet by the name of Elijah. He was by the brook of Cherith and he was there. The ravens come by and dropped him off food. He'd go down, get him a little sip out of the brook. And then one day the brook dried up. And the next day he looks up and he doesn't see any buzzards flying by, dropping anything off to eat. Well, what happened? Should he have fear? Praise God. No. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're still serving a God that's able, praise the Lord, to help you through everything you come in contact with. But praise God, we got to trust him. Does anybody trust him? Oh, I feel God in this place. You say, I don't feel nothing, preacher. Well, I tell you what. We're serving a God that is able to touch your very feelings. Feelings are fickle. They'll change. You'll get up tomorrow, you'll feel good. The next day, you'll feel bad. Anybody notice that? You'll come to church on Sunday morning, get around a bunch of people. Hey, man, if you've not got a lot of sin in your life, you'll feel pretty good when you leave. But if you've got a lot of sin in your life, you'll kind of feel uncomfortable. That's a feeling that'll pass when you come to Christ. Woo, glory! Oh, hallelujah! I'm talking about fear, praise God, that should not be there because of Christ. This world's concerned about their money. We're concerned about our economy. Our president's in a bad shape. Now, I can tell you something else. Well, preacher, I didn't come out here to hear about politics. I can tell you one thing. We better be careful who we bow to. They can say what they want to. I believe the man done a little bow to somebody that wasn't right. How many knows that? Now, hear about us this morning. Who are we bowing to? Are we feared about our money? Are we feared about our lifestyle? I tell you what, hey, man, my lifestyle, I've got a wonderful life. I am so blessed. Somebody says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing far better than I deserve. Can anybody witness to that? I don't deserve a great job. I don't deserve this wonderful church and a congregation of folks here to hear me preach about the gospel of Christ. I don't deserve those things. I don't deserve eternal life. But somehow, some way, God has looked down and he's given me that grace. He's given me that mercy. He smiled upon me. But church, I want to tell you something. If I was to lose all of this stuff that we got, and I say stuff, houses are stuff, ties that don't match. I tell you what I done this morning. I lost my tie that matched. That was not a good thing. Was it, hon? And she said, what did you do with it? I said, I don't know. I was looking. I was digging. I said, is there not? I brought in a big old pile of ties. I said, is there not another one that would work? She brought this one out. Said, it'll work, but it ain't the right one. Oh, glory. I'm still talking about fear not. Things happen in your life that will turn you upside down. Now, that's a minor thing. But I want to tell you something. Folks don't trip up over major things. They trip up over minor things. Now, my wife didn't trip up over this minor thing, but there's things that happen in our life that will turn us upside down, will shake us up, and the next thing you know, I said, what was that Wednesday night? I said, here's what happens. We're the biggest, let me word this right. We're the biggest mountain makers out of molehills I've ever seen in my life. Did I say that right? Yeah. We can take a little old bitty thing, and the next thing you know, it is so big that the world couldn't get around it. And the next thing you know, there's such a fear in your life of tomorrow. Folks, I want to tell you something right now. You can lay your head down on your pillow at night and you can say, thanks be unto God who causes me to try him. You can realize that there's a God in heaven that sent his only begotten son. And on that, praise God, on that day that he gave his life and they rolled a stone in front of that tomb, praise God, and thought they had him caught. The devil's thought his head that God, my Lord and Savior, caught from many, many thousands of years. But I got news for him. He's still not got God. Amen. My God's going to step up one day. He's going to say, come get my children. We're going to be caught up in the sky. The dead in Christ will rise first and we'll be caught up to meet him in the sky. And praise God, someday, somehow, at some time, he's going to take the keys and bound him and throw him into the bottomless pit. How many's looking for that? Jesus said, I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave right now. He said to Peter, said, I'll give you these keys to the kingdom. How many thinks it's time to use those keys? So what happens is this. Fear begins to grip us in the small things. You lose your tie and you can't find it. Next thing you know, you're all upset. Are you hearing me? And you've lost out. Come on now. Next thing you know, you don't want to go to church. Whoopee! I didn't plan on this. I was going to give you a really good, exciting, uplifting message and not say one controversial thing that would make you feel uncomfortable until I got behind the pulpit. And things changed. Because fear will grip your mind and then it grips your heart. We today, we want to have everything under control. I got news for you. When you lose control, that's when God's got control. And too many times, we think we've got to have everything under control within ourselves. That's not how God works. Find the scriptures. They thought they had Christ. They thought they had him with them. Well, things changed. He said, I want to go and I'm going to send back a comforter. What happens to us today in this world we live in is if we're not careful, fear will grip your heart. You say, preacher, you're telling me you're not concerned about your job? Sure. I don't want things to change. I don't want things to happen like that. But folks, things do happen. I'll tell you something. I did several years ago, lost my job, and it was one of the best things ever happened to me, besides Jesus Christ and my family, that ever happened to me in my life. And you know what? I didn't know that was what God was doing. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about fear gripping your life, worried about tomorrow. Well, I can tell you this. The Word says that my God said, I change not. And if there can be anything shaken, it's going to be shaken. Now, I want to tell you this without depressing you really greatly. Your finances and these things and our jobs, we might as well buckle up and get ready. Things are going to be shaken. Are you a prophet, preacher? No, but I can read the Word. Hello. And there's nothing going to be stable in this world except Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, I got to have a good job. I got to have some things. I got to have my family. I got to have this and I got to. You're going to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or you won't make heaven. Fear grips us. Why? Because we're trusting in the world. We're trusting the church world, preachers, pastors. Trusting in the world and not trusting in God. Things begin to go wrong. They go get upset. They say, well, okay, I'm quitting. I'm done. I'm not going to go no more. I'm going to quit preaching. Lord, help us. It's time we serve God when times are getting rough. Now, times are not rough in America right now. How many's noticed that? It's not rough. I mean, I know there's folks in financial trouble and things along, but it's not rough. It's not rough. I've never had anybody break through those doors and say, preacher, you say one more word about Christ or homosexuality, we're going to have you taken to jail, and you're going to do time in the penitentiary. I've never had that happen yet, but get ready. What about fear? It's not God. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. What does he give us, hon? What does he give us? Power and what else? Love and a sound mind. That's what he gives us. That when we come up to the lion's den, Brother Clayton, we're not fearing them lions. When we come up to that fire furnace, we're not worried about the heat. Glory, somebody! When we come up there and the doctor says, you got cancer, we're not concerned about dying because we know where our next step is at. When we find ourselves in a bad situation and our monies are just drying up and we find ourselves sick in body and we're not concerned about it because we got somebody on our side who has overcome all these things that you might face. As they looked in there, the tomb was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. Christ was gone and Mary had fear grip her, I'm certain. And they was concerned. They was worried. They lost him and it was. You'll find the next scriptures here real quick. He come to them. Ooh, glory. I like what he said in John 14 to his disciples. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That where I'm at you, there may be also. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Where I'm at, there you may be also. How many knows he's preparing a place for us? Hallelujah. How many is glad for that this morning? Fear, praise God. Hey, amen, maybe you're here and you're fearful of tomorrow. Hey, amen, I tell you what, I'm not concerned. I'm preparing for tomorrow. I'm preparing for next year. I'm preparing to be 65 years old. Are you hearing me? I'm preparing just like I'm going to live till I'm getting old and die. But I'm not concerned about tomorrow. I guess sometimes I don't have enough sense to be concerned. But I'm preparing just like I would be. I'm going to go ahead and work it. I'm going to go ahead and preach it. I'm going to go ahead doing what God said. How many is with me? But when I get up tomorrow, I go home the next day and something goes wrong in my life, I'm not going to have fear grip me. How many is with me?
Because I got news for the devil. My God, praise God, got the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. He died. Praise God. Rose again. Stands by the Father. And I got news for the devil also. Amen. Just as Stephen was being stoned. Amen. They was rearing up against him. They was crucifying him. He looks up into the heaven. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. As they begin to rail upon him, he looks up and sees Jesus standing by the right hand of the Father, interceding for him. Praise God. That same Savior is standing by the Father right now, interceding for you and I. Why? Because he'll cast out that fear. He'll give you that strength to be an overcomer. All right, I got to move on. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's drop on down to 24. Verse 24 in chapter 1, Proverbs. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities. I'll mock when your fear, when your fear cometh. And when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They made decisions to not fear the Lord. I can tell you right now, those groups and those organizations that are putting out vast amounts of money, lobbying Washington to get laws passed to belittle Brother Ricketts, to destroy the foundation of God's Word and family. They're trying to get the Ten Commandments taken off of our schools and out of our public places. Those folks that are doing those things, just in our little America here, those that are promoting the pornography institutes, are you hearing me? Those that are backing things to happen, perverted things in our children. Those that are teaching false doctrine that says another way is better or as well as Christ. Promise keepers, my Lord help me. Says it's okay as long as you believe. Must be Christ. Islamic, Muslim, I don't hate them, but I sure can't join them. Are you hearing me? You cannot worship Muhammad and say I'm worshiping the same God as you are. I got news for him. He's not our creator. He's no more different than Buddha that sets up there with a little ball in his lap. No difference whatsoever. But I tell you who is different, and that is our Lord and Savior. Those that have done what I'm saying right here, someday their calamities and their cries will be crying out and saying, I do believe now that we were wrong. And what's it going to be? Too late. Too late. Now, we still live in grace right now. Who knows? Things may rock on another 15, 20 years. I don't know. I sure wouldn't take a trust at that. I'm no biblical scholar by any means, but I don't know that there's very many things that need to be fulfilled in this Bible before he says, son, go get them. How many knows that? Now let's take that another step. I may not leave here by way of rapture or catching away the saints. I may leave here by way of some other direction, by sickness, by car accident, whatever the case may be. I'm kind of mean sometimes. I had a boss one day, one time riding with me. He always liked to give me a hard time. And he's one of them good buddies that while he was me, he was a deacon. When he's with the other boys,
He was a partier. Hello. That's a double-minded man, where it says unstable in all of his ways. How are you with me? So he may be a deacon while he's with me, but then he gets out with the other boys, he's a party animal. Hello. If that's the case, we're in trouble. He was riding with me one day, and I was driving. He's sitting with me, and I'm bad to not drive very good. If you don't believe me, ask my family. I'm bad to get close to that yellow line. And I was driving down through there, and I was getting close to that yellow line. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you're driving off close to that yellow line." He said, "You're gonna have a wreck." I said, "Well, I'm not planning on having a wreck." I said, "Are you not ready to go?" That was mean. But that's true. How many knows we need to be ready to go? At all times. But fear can grip us. And I believe the most key part of fear gripping us is when we're not totally trusting in God. You had 12 spies go spy the land. 10 of them come back with reports that the land's full of giants. We're just little old grasshoppers. Can somebody say, "I'm not a grasshopper"? Caleb and Joshua looked into the same, through the same peephole, Brother Reno. They looked in there and they said, "Huh?" They didn't see those giants. They said, "We're well able to take that land." How many can say, "We're well able to take this land"? How many can say, "I'm well able to be an overcomer by the grace of my God"? How many can say, "I can be, amen, a fired up Christian"? Why? Because of the grace of God. How many can say, "Because of a resurrected Savior, I can have peace that passes all understanding when I trust Him"? You find that Old Testament Caleb and Joshua received. Why? Because the Word says they wholly trusted the Lord. That's why they was overcomer. That's why they received. And I believe that same principle applies to us today. Looking over quickly, I'm going to try to close here. We're looking over in some fear nots. We need to realize that He will supply our needs. King, I'm going to go hit a few high spots here. 1 Kings 17, Elijah said to her, said, "Fear not, go and do as I have said, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it to me, and after that make the cake for thee and thy son." She had enough for one cake. The prophet said, "Go make me one first." But I like what he said to start with. He said, "Fear not." Don't fear what can happen in your life, but trust in God. I believe this is very timely. When the Lord was putting this on my heart, this is the time to talk about fear. And folks, I want to encourage you right now not to allow fear to grip your heart with the economy, with our homes, with the nation status and the world status. You might as well get ready, folks. There's going to be a one world government. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Revelations will happen no matter how much you pray. It'll happen. So what's that mean to me, preacher? That means if there ever was a day for you to trust the Lord, it is today. Today is the day. We find that he said to her, said, make me. He said, "You know, make me a cake first." You know what happened there? She made a cake and her meal barrel never went dry. Why? She didn't have fear gripper. I'm here to tell you right now, your spiritual meal barrel will never go dry when you trust God. Hallelujah. How many loves Him this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. I like in Isaiah 43, he said here, he said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." This is Isaiah 43:1. And "He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when thou goest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the kindle flame upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I will go with you. Fear not." I want to ask you to stand with us if they'll come get a song this morning. I want to go back to Proverbs again in closing. I talked about in verses 24, 5, 6, 7, and 8 about those that did not hear and refused. Now I want to go down to verse 33 in Proverbs 1. Now I want to tell you something right now. This can be applied to our life today.
Are you hearing me? I want us to all be hearing what we're saying here. Verse 33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." I will stand on this until God changes my mind or my heart. There's not enough devils in hell can kill a Christian and destroy your soul. It cannot be done. As I read the scriptures, the devil cannot do it. As Job, God said, he pulled down the hedge that Job could be touched, and we found out that he said, "You can touch everything about him, but you cannot take his life." And I believe that same principle that God done for him is doing for us. Before they sang, my question to you is about, do you have fear? If there's fear in your life for tomorrow, I'm asking now, are you trusting the risen Savior? Because He is risen. He has risen. He is alive forevermore. We also find the scripture, I didn't take time to go to it, it said, and I won't quote it word for word, but it said this simply, don't fear those that can hurt your body, but fear the one that can destroy your soul. So don't fear those around about you that can destroy your body. This evil world. This world is sadistic. It is satanic. It is getting worse by the minute. Our children are facing things right now that we as parents, and I'm middle-aged, my wife and I, there's no way we could have dreamed these things and growing up when I'm older than she is. But, you know what I'm saying. Things have changed. 20 years ago, it's changed. What's that mean to me today? Don't allow those things to grip your mind. And I believe today, if you'll stop and think, God's speaking to your heart about your walk with Him right now as they begin to sing.